Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most out of your midlife.
So our listeners don't know this, but when we come up with topics, we usually just, one of us will suggest something and we'll brainstorm a teeny bit. We never script anything.
Right.
And today's topic, harmony, was something that we just talked about literally yesterday. So we'll see if we can have a harmonious conversation about harmony, off the cuff, as it were.
That sounds good.
So you were the one who came up with the topic.
Yeah.
What does harmony mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's meant different things over the years. And the first, when I think about harmony in general, I think about music. I think we all probably do. Mm-hmm. But I think in midlife, like now, I think of harmony more of a state of mind, a way we live. I think in midlife, we slow down enough that we realize that harmony is a blend of imperfect and the beautiful. And even the notes we didn't expect, they somehow fit together. And I think that slowing down like that and realizing or letting things just fall into place in some way, you start hearing the music. And I think I did that when I quit trying to conduct it.
Interesting.
You know? And really was allowed myself to hear it. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. I just had to stop controlling it. I think that harmony also, not absolute, but I think the enemy to harmony is probably control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we control so much in our lives when we're younger because we want it all to fall into place. And yet, I wish I had just let it fall into place without some of the control. I feel like my life is pretty harmonious at the moment. We talked about balance too.
And I was thinking about that because, like, what is the difference between harmony and balance? And for me, harmony is like a thin line between balance and chaos. So I won't use music. I think it's a great analogy because music is built on harmony. But I was thinking of food.
Ah.
So if you're trying to be healthy and provide your body with what it needs, then it requires that you eat a balanced diet, right? And that requires conscious thought and conscious selection. Mm-hmm. You're going to have so many vegetables per day, so much protein per day, so much grain per day. It's all about balance.
Right.
But every once in a while, your body says, screw the balance. I want a steak or I want, you know, a sweet today, or, you know, I don't want to worry about what I'm eating. I'm going to have cheese for dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Harmony is listening to that and rising above the balance to give your body what it needs, what it's telling mm-hmm. you it really wants. But if you do too much of that, you slip into chaos.
Right.
So it's this fine line where you try to live a disciplined life, but that frees you up to feel inside what you need. And you respond to that, but you keep it under, not control, but scrutiny.
Yeah. No, I like that analogy. When I think of balance, I can't help but think of equations, measurement, like weight.
Yeah.
So when I think about balance, I think about weight. When I think about harmony, I think about relationships. The relationship of things within our life to each other and to us. So a little bit different.
And I think of it not so much as the singing part, but mm-hmm. the listening part. If you hear inside yourself what your soul is telling you it needs, then you're in harmony.
You have to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what harmony is all about. It's not controlling. It is listening. It's stepping back. It's a bigger view, right? It's a different lens, mm-hmm. I think. And the way the resonance, the way it settles, there's peace to
you,
it.
You feel it.
You do. And we're not always in harmony. Mm-hmm. You know, I just had an experience within my own personal life where a relationship just kind of went sideways for a bit. And it was nothing but it was just harmony. And it was unsettling, you know, and letting that play out and getting back to a harmonious state is wonderful. It's what you hope for. But we have things in our life that happen mm-hmm. that maybe take us out of that harmonious, peaceful way of living at a moment. But we come back to it.
How do you get back to it?
Oh, I think it takes, I want to say skill, because I think at my age, we've learned the skill of being able to let go of things, see things in different perspectives. I'm going to use the word weight, even though I associated it with balance. But things should not weigh the same, or they don't weigh the same with me now as they did before. So things that might have bothered me or that I felt was very heavy earlier in life, I now let go of that. So I think that having a perspective, being true to yourself about whatever might be happening in your life, and not owning it in such a way that would be conflicting and causing a non-harmonious state, I guess. So I think that's how you get back to it. Journaling helps. Getting out in nature helps. All those things that we talk about helps us get back into that state, you know, and letting things go.
I think it's the letting things go. Acceptance, not wrestling against what's happening, but just accepting it and your feelings around it is a way to get back to harmony. Because some things you can't, as you said, you can't control, and therefore you can't really worry about them. You can't let them derail you. I had an interesting experience over the last couple of weeks. I'm wearing this dress for a reason.
Beautiful dress, Leslie Ann.
Thank you. You know, I just came back from a two-week visit to Tanzania. And the first week there, the trip was organized around a relationship that our church has with a church in a rural village in Tanzania. And so it was a relationship building exercise. We went to go meet people and sort of hear from them about how their lives are and what they need from us, how we can support them in making some changes that they need to make in their village life. I think whenever you travel, you have an idea of how a place will be. Mm-hmm. And most of us do a little research, right? So you do get some sense. The reality of travel is often quite different from what you expect. And this blew me away. And I would say the biggest thing that blew me away was the degree to which the people in this village live in harmony. They live in harmony with each other. They live in harmony with their environment. They live in harmony with the bigger culture around them. It was truly enlightening. And I walked away from it thinking, you know, they don't have a lot. They live very simple lives, and yet their lives are so incredibly rich because they are in harmony. Mm-hmm. And a sort of a maybe trite example of that is they expressed their joy through singing. And we went to a church service where 16 different choirs sang for us, a perfect example of harmony, and not just harmony of their voices, but harmony between their physical actions. They were dancing energetically and their singing. And, you know, the overall takeaway of it is that harmony, if you can experience it for a sustained period of time, releases so much joy. I mean, it is a pathway to true joy.
I agree. I mean, joyful living is so different. We talk about happiness and things make us happy, but joy is just this innate, it's a gift.
It's an acceptance mm-hmm. of where you are and who you are and your relationship to the world, where you're not sitting there thinking, how can I climb above, or how can I, you know, compete, or what's lacking. It's all about, here I am.
Yeah.
And what is beautiful in the world around me. These people live with such a great sense of community.
Right.
They truly embrace one another. And it was just such an inspiration.
If I had to pick one way of living in order to achieve joyfulness, I really believe it's living a gratuitous life, having gratitude for everything you just talked about, that those villagers, my husband and I recently had gone to Japan. And like you, I took away from the people the harmony that they had within themselves and each other. And getting in the public transportation, which, let me tell you, is like sardines. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are packed in those trains, buses, wherever you go, and not a word is spoken. It is silent. It was so shocking to me. Now, we were told by a tour guide, just know when you get in public transportation, people do not speak. They are respectful of each other and what's going on in each other's mind and how they're spending their day getting ready mentally, their zen, but also in nature, like the harmony that you see between the people in Japan and nature, the respectfulness. We happened to go during cherry blossom season. And it was beautiful. The parks, everybody under those cherry blossom canopies, just at peace, but enjoying the beautiful confetti of the leaves coming down, the petals, I should say. But you notice just this peace. There's no other word besides zen and harmonious that I walked away with when I had better understanding of the people in Japan. And talking, you used the analogy of food earlier, the respect that they have for food, for what the earth has given them and what they're able to create and give back. It's very special to them.
You know, you said the silence in the subway, which made me think that one of the things that really struck me, we went to several community meetings to hear the villagers sort of speak about their needs. And, you know, working in a professional environment, I've been to many, many meetings in my time. And here, when you go to a meeting, everybody's anxious to put their two cents in.
Right.
And so there's not a lot of listening that goes on. There's a lot of speaking. This was the opposite. And I was really struck by the respectfulness and the interposition of silence in our conversations. So one person would stand up to speak and they would say their piece, and then they would sit down and there would be silence. Mm-hmm. And then after a moment or two, someone else would stand up and wait to be acknowledged by the group. And then they would speak, and then they would sit down and there'd be silence. And it struck me that in that silence, that's where the harmony happens. Mm-hmm. That's where all the vibration, the notes that they're putting out there come together, and you can listen. And then you can decide, do I need to add another note to this song, or can I just sit back and let it unfold before me? Instead of everyone jumping up, always wanting to speak, always wanting to have center stage, they were really listening to see that the group was all on the same note. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does.
It was beautiful.
Oh, I can imagine. We should do more of that here in the U.S.
We should. And I think we should embrace silence more. Like, if you're in your interactions, let a little bit of quiet invade. You don't always have to be the one speaking. It's like photography, right? We talk about including negative space in an image to highlight the subject instead of having everything always cluttered.
Yeah. I think if harmony was a living thing, if it was a living thing, I think you would allow it to breathe. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about, when people are always talking and there's no silence, you have to let it breathe. And we don't always allow our lot to breathe within our lives. Does that make sense to
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
And I think that harmony, yeah. And I think the gratuitous piece.
And I think harmony is, in terms of acceptance, it's like life's not always good.
No.
But a life in harmony accepts the good and the bad. And it's again, just to draw on the Africa trip, you know, we went out on safari and saw these incredible animals, most of whom, most of the time, were coexisting. There's, you know, gazelles on the plain and buffalo and zebras and elephants, all just kind of doing their thing. But then we saw a cheetah kill a gazelle.
Uh-oh.
We saw a crocodile eat a wildebeest. And like, sad as that is, that's part of the harmony of nature. And so you have to accept that in life, both good things and bad things happen. If you focus only on the bad things or trying to avoid the bad things, you're not living in harmony. You have to kind of embrace the whole of it, the whole of the human experience, in order to achieve harmony.
And it's those relationships, those individual relationships. When I say relationships, I'm not always talking about people relationship.
But, right.
I'm just talking about the relationships we have, whether it's nature, whether it is family, whether it's our work, our career, all of those relationships that we have with those things, you do have to just allow them to kind of settle out and find their place. And something might be bigger, as you're saying, at some point than another, and maybe not so good. So you have to learn to kind of let that go and let one of the other things be a little more imposing, mm-hmm. I would say, within your life.
And also within yourself.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. The myriad of different feelings and emotions that you have, like, you kind of have to let them settle out.
You do. I think it comes with time. I think it comes with wisdom. I think right now, maybe the reason you and I can benefit or feel more harmonious in our lives is we don't have the stress of a lot of pieces. Mm-hmm. Raising children in the same way, showing up to work in a career. I mean, life has gotten easy. I mean, it's the beauty of midlife and beyond, not just the wisdom of it, but where our lives are, it is less chaotic. You know, I love this conversation, and I think listeners can probably benefit from listening to it a little bit. It's a conversation that we don't really just sit and think about most of our lives, like, oh, how can I have harmony in my life? We're doing this podcast, so we have the benefit of kind of thinking about where we are in life, where we want to be in life. And the reason I love the podcast, because it spotlights these things that I think people can sit back and allow it to resonate a little bit, mm-hmm. and it have some value. So when I'm thinking of someone sitting in their home right now and they still might maybe have high school kids or college kids, and they're like, oh, all sounds great, but I've got so many balls in the air. How do I find that? What advice would you give? Is there one or two things that you would tell that woman right now? Like,
absolutely. The first thing I would say is become observant. Become observant of your interactions. Like, I wish when my kids were in high school and there were sports going on, I was always really focused on, are they getting hit? Are they getting on base? Are they making a basket? You know, instead of the experience of being there, watching my children grow as individuals, interacting with the other parents there, getting a perspective on how they were viewing the situation, become more observant of your surroundings. And I think the other piece is, no matter how busy or crazy life gets, find moments where you can get outside of your routine and experience something different, because that's where you hear a new note that you might want to add to your song.
Right.
And I think we don't, when we're younger, you know, earlier part of midlife, we are so focused on family, on work, that we don't give ourselves the gift of time to ourselves. True. And you really need that. And, you know, family vacations are great. One-on-one vacations with your spouse are great. But find a little time to take yourself out, even just for a day, to have time with your own self.
Right.
I think that's an important path.
I think that's great advice. And living in the moment is kind of what you were talking about with the baseball, is truly just being in that moment and let it resonate.
And be conscious of it. Stop right. And see where you are and what you're doing and what that means to you. All too often, we go through life almost automatically, you know?
Oh, we do. Autopilot.
Autopilot. You know, stop the autopilot. Take control and look around. Look out the windshield and see what's in front of you.
And sometimes we don't realize at the moment, those things, it's not until they're gone. And one thing that I think about, I mean, often actually, is I wish I had, now that it's gone, I wish I had listened to the giggles and the laughter and all of that in my home walking down the stairs when my kids were downstairs already. They beat us, you know, getting up in the morning. I used to love that. And I did think about that at the time. It always made me smile. I would have enjoyed it, I think, even more. Mm-hmm. Because once it's gone, you realize, wow, that was cool. And that was harmony within a home, mm-hmm. in a happy home. It was one of those relationships in the, you know, in your life at that point with their relationship and listening to that, but the relationship it had with you and just the positive vibes of it. And I think creating a positive, harmonious environment. So that's another piece, isn't it? A harmonious environment where we can all live, which will cultivate all these beautiful things in life. But we do get busy. And I think for listeners, it's like, I think journaling, and I'm not a great journaler. I wish I was better. I think journaling is a start because someone is starting to put their feelings down, the goods and the bads, or not just that. It doesn't have to be a stoic type of journaling, but getting in touch with those things that make you happy and joyful. The more you think about it, the more you will allow yourself to enjoy it and have it.
And if you're not a person who likes journaling, it's perfectly okay to just set aside 5 minutes a day, maybe in the morning, maybe before you go to bed, just 5 minutes where you disconnect from everything else, turn everything off, disengage from the phone, disengage from TV, mm-hmm. disengage from your spouse, disengage from your kids. Give yourself 5 minutes and do a mental checklist of how you're feeling. What has happened during the day? What emotions have you experienced? Even if you don't write them down, bringing them to the surface, bringing them to consciousness will eventually help you progress. Mm-hmm. And as I say that, I know it sounds super woo-woo. And I think people think
I like
about
woo-woo.
I know. I mean, you know, people think about meditation or, you know, journaling or, you know, harmony. And they think, oh, you know, that's so like, what was it in the 90s? New age. So new age. But it really isn't.
Yep.
It is really something that's very attainable for everybody. You can be a hard driving executive or a totally committed parent or whatever it is you are and still take that 5 minutes a day to get in touch with yourself.
Right. You know, I think another way is walking. I love to walk. I love to run. I love to swim. But walking and running, I'm in my own head. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I usually listen to music. Or nothing, but I had a phone call come in. And so I decided to take the phone call and I had my earphones in. And so on this phone call, it was probably like a 40-minute phone call. And my walking path goes through a park and it goes through nature. It goes down a street. And the individual was like, wow, oh, I can hear the birds. Where are you? I was like, oh, I'm in a park. And then 5 or 10 minutes later, they were like, oh, I hear the traffic. And I'm like, that is so interesting because when I walk, I notice things, but I don't. Like I've never heard the traffic when I walk because I'm so in my head and in this mindset of it's peaceful for me. So innately, it is so peaceful, even though there's all this chaos. I don't hear the honking of the cars. Mm-hmm. Hopefully if one came too close, I would. So if you're out there driving and you see me, but I think it is just being in your head a little bit and just giving yourself that opportunity because you can block all that chaos out.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
When I was a kid, I used to spend a lot of time lying on the floor in the living room in front of, we had one of those big old console stereos that was like a cabinet, listening to music. And, some of that was, there were some difficult things. You know, my dad was very sick for a long time. And that was kind of my way of dealing with it. But I also always found when I was just lying there listening to music that I could feel much more peaceful because I would just let myself hear the music, literally. I have recently started doing that again. And that's another way I think of sort of achieving harmony. It's kind of ironic, right? Because it's music.
Right.
You think of harmony as music. But shutting everything down and just letting yourself be captured by a melody or, you know, a particular song lyric that really strikes you, it lets you tap into some other part of yourself that often during the day with all the other noise around you, you don't hear.
Oh, it helps me hyper-focus
in a good way. Yeah, in a good way, in a really good
way. And then silence does too. I don't look at stars enough. I always loved that as a child. And I have a goal in mind. I'm going to spend more time under the stars. And then when you were talking about laying down, I thought, I didn't know it was going to be in your home when you initially said that sentence. But I remember just laying and watching the clouds when I was a kid. But thinking about, and I want to hear your thoughts on this too. If I were to pick like a slither of time in my life as a child where I felt like maybe I had harmony, because we didn't think about it like that. I mean, I think about it in midlife more. I get this image in my mind, and I must have been like 7 or 8 years old or all through that. We lived in Australia, and our backyard was kind of tiered, and it was rocked with gardens. And we had these bird baths, and my mother always made sure there was water in the bird baths. And I am a feminine person, but there is a little bit of tomboy in me as well. So when I think of this time that I spent in my childhood that I enjoy, that I feel was harmonious, was catching tadpoles in 1 second. And then picking, which I think are sunflowers. So I think of the big yellow flowers I used to pick in my backyard on a beautiful sunny day. That is the relationships I think about that all work together in a way that is a harmonious moment. Mm-hmm. That was a harmonious moment for me. And I didn't even know it. Harmonious for myself, harmonious in nature, harmonious in my environment. And so young, we didn't have the chaos of the and heaviness of the world yet. So our perspective was so different. Is there a moment in your childhood that you can think about where you were, whether it was the beach and your feet in the sand, whatever it might have been, that you feel might have been, that you didn't recognize was a very harmonious moment, a very zen moment for you?
I can't say childhood. Okay. And honestly, I mean, unfortunately, there were a lot of things going on in the background in my childhood that made it very unharmonious. As I said, my dad's illness and my grandmother's illness, just a lot. But there was a day, a particular moment when I was in my first year of college coming home. And I actually must have been my second year because I was driving and I had a car then. I was driving home. And honestly, college was an incredible experience for me. Being away from home, living on my own, I loved it. I loved Charlottesville. I loved everything about it. I remember driving home that summer, and it was a beautiful summer day. I had the windows of the car open, didn't have air conditioning. And as I was driving along, I just really felt this moment where everything felt like it clicked. I just felt so present and so content, not happy, but content with where I was. It was really like a shocking, almost like an electric shock woke me up. And I was like, oh my God, I feel great in
this moment. You experienced joy.
I experienced harmony.
Yeah.
Like everything felt right in the world. Hard to explain, but I felt like I was independent, but I was going home. I was, you know, in charge of my life, but could see where I fit in it. I don't know. It was just this particular moment, and that has happened to me a few times in my life, but for me, that's real harmony. It's like this inner feeling of everything clicking into place. It could be sometimes for a moment. It could be a more sustained period of time, but I just feel whole.
Right. I feel that now. Like my children are in really good places, and I see that their life isn't as harmonious as it will be in the future because they've got a lot going on. The relationship with my family, the people that I love, not working. My relationship with a non-work life.
relationship with
retirement. Sorry to those that are still working. And I work. I'm here. I'm in a podcast. And I do other things. I just feel like I'm in a good place. Not that, you know, life isn't always perfect. One thing that I miss that always brings me to a harmonious place as well that I haven't been doing so much is out doing photography. Mm-hmm. I miss my camera. And I need to get it back out. It's not that I don't. I use my iPhone and I'll take pictures and things like that. But that is a piece that gives me some zen as well.
You know, it's interesting you say that because when I was on this trip, of course, like we went on safari. So I bought a new camera just for this trip because I needed the lens.
Good for you.
And I was, so everyone else in our on our safari, no one else bought a camera, right?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. One woman bought a small camera, but it was small and everybody else was using their iPhones. And I was like, I'd take a couple of pictures and I'd be like, I got what I need. I know these are going to be good. It's a good camera. So then I sat down and I let the other people in the vehicle have a chance to stand up and look out through the top to try to maintain harmony within the vehicle, right? But also it allowed me to just stop and watch what was happening. Not just a particular animal or scene that I wanted to focus on and capture, but the bigger expanse of being in this incredibly wide open environment with the, you know, beautiful bright sun and, you know, the animals all moving around like layers of animals. There's gazelles over here. There's wildebeest over there. There's lions over there. I mean, it was amazing, but it required stepping back a little bit from wanting to interact or engage with the environment and instead just seeing it, viewing it. And it was great.
It's what you get. It's the gift in pause.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gift in the silence. And it's allowing something to breathe, right? Mm-hmm. Not to
and what was
suffocate.
Our driver on this fart, great guy. His name was Leslie. So he told me I was the first Leslie, other Leslie he's ever met. It's not a common name in Tanzania. But he said, you know, he was going to miss us and that he really enjoyed us. And I think part of the reason was we were all in harmony with each other and with him on this trip. And so harmony not only brings you up and, you know, lifts your mood, your feeling, but it can lift other people. When you're in harmony, you make other people, you inspire other people, and you free other people up to experience that as well.
You know, when you find that in travel, I think it's a gift, especially when you're around people that maybe you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to handpick people that you know you're going to be, I have a harmonious trip, that's a little bit different. Though travel actually brings out stresses as well. So when you do have a harmonious experience, I think that is a gift. And I think about the trips that we've taken with groups of people, like up to 20 people sometimes. And the ones, well, we always walk away enjoying it, but the ones that we really feel were like almost perfect, if not perfect, it was the harmony among everybody.
And I think the more we've done these trips, the easier it's become to cultivate that harmony because you and I have learned where to step back.
It's true.
And let the group blossom.
Yes. And those inner relationships.
Right.
As well. And we pick trips where we're in nature for the most part. I mean, even in Charleston, I didn't get to stay as long as you did. You know, out walking on the beach in the morning and in the evenings, that allows for a harmonious environment.
So we have our wonderful producer, Elizabeth, here, who always listens to our podcast and comes up with great questions that we didn't think about while we were talking. So, Elizabeth, what do you want to know about harmony?
When was a time you found harmony not by adding more, but by removing something, whether physically, emotionally, or mentally?
Oh, great question.
Earlier in the podcast, before your question, I alluded to a period of time recently where there was some disharmony. And I had to reframe what was going on in a relationship and let that go, the biggest piece of it, to be able to feel harmony. And I actually had to ask for something, which I was given, which was wonderful, that allowed me to feel in a harmonious state again. But that would be it. I had to let it go. I had to let something go.
And I think for me, honestly, it was moving out of the house. We got rid of a lot of stuff, but we also got rid of the stress of having to take care of the house. There was like always things to do, things that needed to be fixed. The yard needed to be mowed, you know, things needed to be cleaned. It was a pretty big house, more than we needed. And getting rid of all that and living a much smaller, simpler life. We live in a rental apartment And I think that's actually added a lot of space for me to experience harmony.
Okay, now you're just bragging. I'm getting jealous because all those things you just said are on a to-do list.
Well, and you know, I thought about that a lot in Africa because these folks don't have much.
Yeah.
And it frees them up to embrace what they have.
Yeah.
So I think that was really a huge,
liberating.
It was liberating. Yeah.
Imagine you could photograph your own life right now. What would be in the negative space? And what would that reveal about your balance?
I think for me, the negative space would be light. You know, when you take a photograph, okay, it's a little technical, but if you take an image with an f-stop of 22 and you're taking it of like the sun peeking through something, you get that starburst effect. My image would be that starburst effect with me in the foreground.
That's beautiful. The negative space also, like Leslie Ann, would be light. It would be something simple, but would spotlight those things that are important to me that actually are kept in the picture. Family, nature, love, gratitude.
It's interesting because your picture includes other people and other things. Mine is just a solo portrait.
But you know, my harmony is people.
Yeah.
It is the love. It's the relationships. At the end of the day, it's the relationships.
And I'm a little more internal looking because I think all those relationships are important, but the harmony I seek is within myself.
Yeah. And it brings it to myself, mm-hmm. You know, or is that love. And yeah.